Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. We're looking forward to this journey together on this broadcast today. As we face the issues, we pray that you will be tuned in, and as you listen, that you would be inspired, informed, and challenged based on the broadcast information today. It's vital that we understand the truth. It's vital that we understand what is taking place in society and how we ought to respond to it. Today, we're going to be talking about a subject: no mask, no freedom, no buying or selling. And yes, that's where we're headed today, with a mandate, new mandate for many states across America, to don a mask, or you can't go in a place of business to buy or sell. You might think, well, that's far-fetched. No, I want you to listen to this broadcast today and stay tuned and in tune very carefully as to the rationale of what we're saying and where we're going and what the future holds in relationship to this pandemic and the renewed hysteria and panic that's taking place as a result of it. Ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the monologue, the dialogue, and the discussion, and open our lines for your comments and discussion, let me invite you to worship with us this Sunday as we celebrate Independence Day, the 244th birthday of America. A wonderful high time in this celebration. We invite you to be with us at First Conservative Baptist Church. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 12021. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. It's exactly 1 mile south of I-295. First Conservative Baptist Church will have our services this Sunday, a different time schedule, ladies and gentlemen. So mark it down. Remember it. We start at 10 o'clock, not 10:45. We start at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. We'll be having a wonderful celebration of our anniversary, homecoming celebration, blended with our Independence Day celebration. We'll have some wonderful singing, wonderful fellowship. We'll have the Patrick Henry reenactment, if you will, message. You've heard the statement, part of Patrick Henry's speech, "Give me liberty, give me death." Most have never heard the full speech that was given at that time. Patrick Henry will be played by Harry McKay. Harry McKay does that reenactment. He's traveled across America doing the Patrick Henry reenactment speech. And we've had him several times. Perhaps you have been here and heard it. You're inspired by it. You'd like to hear it again. We'd like to have you to come and worship with us again. After the message, after the singing, after the Patrick Henry reenactment speech, we're going to have a wonderful time of barbecue, old-fashioned barbecue and all of the trimmings that's here at our church. So we'd love to have you this Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We met you all these years on the air. Some of you we met in person. Some of you have worshiped with us time and time again. We'd like to have you to return and be with us, especially for this wonderful Independence Day celebration, homecoming anniversary celebration for First Conservative Baptist Church. Looking forward to you being with us. Looking forward to the privilege of meeting you, having fellowship with you around the Word of God. It is my privilege to invite you today, and we're looking forward to this Sunday, July the 5th, to have you with us for that great day of celebration. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not based on a political, ideological bent. We do not base this discussion for our issues each day on some denominational dogma. We do not base the discussion on let's face the issue based on feelings, but based on fact, and the facts based on the truth of the Word of God, of what does God's Word say, how does God's Word direct us, how should we respond? Let me remind you, it's the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that we ought to depend on. It is the truth book from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And following that in the 17th chapter and the 17th verse of the Gospel of John, Jesus says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that I commend to you, that I encourage you to be faithful in the Word. What does the Word say, and how should it relate to us? Truth is what we're talking about. And ladies and gentlemen, you can listen to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, AOC and the others, and you can get majorly confused because truth is not coming out of Washington today. And I could almost say it's not coming out of Washington from either side of the aisle. And yet, at the same time, we need to understand that it's the truth that we ought to seek. It was George Orwell, a number of years ago, said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But it's the definitive statement by Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer, that made this statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. May I commend that to you today, ladies and gentlemen? It is truth, truth, and truth that we ought to seek and stand on. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for landscape lawn care business. It is the home, if you please, ladies and gentlemen, of the homeowner brand like Honda and Echo. They carry a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment like the Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a full staff of knowledgeable personnel. They can answer all of your questions about landscape equipment, hurricane preparedness backup equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic U.S. flag flies. You can travel up and down that portion of 295 and find Old Glory flying at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Let me encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues today, to hang in there. Stay tuned. Listen carefully. Take copious notes if you're not driving. It is a very important subject that we're talking about today, that we must understand where we are and what is taking place and how we're being manipulated as free citizens in our nation. Yes, we are being manipulated. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you right through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your dialogue and discussion, your questions or responses to what we're about to say today on this very important broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're faced with what I call a major dilemma. Since Dr. Fauci assured all of Americans that wearing a mask will have no benefit and will not be necessary for COVID-19, and that was back in February, ladies and gentlemen, well, let's look at some of the real facts, some of the real truth surrounding the coronavirus and the pandemic and the panic across our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm wanting to do is set the stage of where we've been, what has taken place, and where we have come in the reopening, and where we have stalled now, and what we're doing in going back in a regressive sense, and now requiring several states requiring by executive order mandate that the citizens, free people, citizens, be incarcerated by wearing masks, whether you are ill or not. In fact, if you're ill, you're going to be quarantined or placed in the hospital. So if you're not ill, you're going to be forced to wear a mask that could cause you to become ill. That's the bottom line of what I'm wanting to see. But ladies and gentlemen, we were told by Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, Dr. Tedros of the World Health Organization, and others that 2.2 million people to die, 2.2 million people in America is going to die as a result of the virus. Well, we've discovered that was a hoax. That was an absolute lie. That was deceptive. It was not true. The data was incorrect. And the database that's set that stage was incorrect. It was utilized on a global basis. It petrified nation after nation. And we were told that our hospitals would be overrun, that people would die as a result of not being able to get into the hospitals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, infinitum. Then Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci, via the prompting from Bill Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, that America needed to be shut down. And they convinced our president and other political leaders in Washington that we needed to be shut down as a nation. That is, turn, lock the doors, turn the key and throw it away, to lock the businesses down. As a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, America went into total lockdown, shelter in place. Shelter in place took place as a result of government orders, where people had to stay in the home, locked in, sheltered in. That was for months and months, ladies and gentlemen, that took place. All commerce ceased and businesses were shut down. Even outdoor activities were ordered shut down because, after all, we were told by Dr. Fauci that the waves coming in from the ocean could spew COVID-19 on the sunbathers, and therefore you had to shut the beaches down even. Churches were shut down, ordered to close. Thousands are still closed today across America. State after state after state. In fact, in some of the states, they're promoting snitching. Snitching. That is telling the government, calling the government, and letting them know if some churches are still open or some churches are doing business or some churches have worship services that are taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem with what we've seen in the past. And ladies and gentlemen, it's something that I believe ought to be reckoned and dealt with and understand where we are in the present as a result of that. Yes, we're talking about that which is absolutely unconscionable that's taking place. There's a study that shows, says, shutdowns are destroying the livelihoods, but do not curb the virus at all. The lockdowns that have destroyed millions of livelihoods worldwide have no impact on the spread of the novel coronavirus, according to the study by J.P. Morgan and Chase. The report cited failing infection rates, falling infection rates in the place where the lockdown has lifted, concluding the virus likely has its own dynamics, which are unrelated and often inconsistent lockdown measures. And it goes on to talk about how the difficulty and the problems as a result of locking down. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me just insert this at this juncture. We're going to have a fast-paced walk through what's taking place in the past, where we are now, and where this is headed, and what we need to be aware of for the preparation and the isolation and the insulation of we the people from what is being perpetuated upon us as a weaponized virus in America. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we've been deceived and lied to in so many of these cases. But today, ladies and gentlemen, millions of bankruptcies have taken place. Businesses, personal independent individuals, and yet over 100,000 suicides because of hopelessness and a sense of fear and helplessness. Dr. Fauci assured us that wearing a mask would not be needed at all. But wait a minute. Dr. Fauci now admits that he lied about the mask, but insists that we should believe him now and all else that he has said and is now saying. For after all, he contends that all he says is based on science and data and facts and truths. I just make a little parenthetical footnote to that. Wow. To tell us now that, oh, yes, I lied, but now you need to believe everything I say because it's based on science and data. Well, what data? What is the source of that data? What is the science? How do you prove that? Ladies and gentlemen, would you believe if I were to tell you that there is no, and I'll show you in this broadcast, there's no zip, zero, nada, no scientific evidence that wearing a mask will protect you from getting or transmitting a virus. Yes, I'm talking about coming out of CDC, I'm talking about facts coming out of OSHA and what they say about masks, and facts and details coming out of the different medical authorities in America today. Here's an article that says, the left's war on science, dated June 9th. Today's Democratic Party insists that a beautiful full term, this is getting to a point, ladies and gentlemen, so listen carefully. It's intriguing, interesting, and challenging. Today's Democratic Party insists that a beautiful full-term human baby just about to be born isn't really a human being at all and therefore can be slaughtered at will, maybe even after he or she has been born, just as long as the mother or the doctor agree. We're talking about now the left's war on science. They're saying that that human being in the womb is not really a human being and it can be murdered. Is that science? The Democratic Party's top leaders also passionately warned that the entire earth would become unsustainable and uninhabitable within 10 years due to global warming, unless, that is, America goes full totalitarian socialist right now and adopts the Green New Deal at an estimated cost of $93 trillion. After all, it's settled science, isn't it? Thirdly, the Democratic Party likewise contends that there are more than 100 different genders that never before existed in history, that men can get pregnant, have babies, and much more, and that if you don't agree with all of this, you're deplorable, a bigot, and you're anti-science. Fourth, these are people who proudly identify themselves as the party of science and contemporaneously dismiss critics and political opponents as science deniers or climate deniers. People who refuse to listen to the science and the scientists and follow data, they say. Most recently, throughout the coronavirus pandemic, Democratic leaders and their media propagandists have played their "we listen to science," the card of "we listen to science," and more brazenly, they say, than ever. Blue state governors, mayors, and public health officials have issued sweeping dictatorial orders of quarantining the young and the healthy inside their homes for extended periods, allowing big box stores and to sell beer, wine, and not paint, and no garden supplies, permitting beachgoers to walk on the wet sand but not on the dry sand, and allowing groups of 25 to meet in a restaurant, department store, or most any other venue, but not in church, because it's science, you see. It's all in the data, they say. Meanwhile, cable TV anchors and pundits posing as epidemiologists and immunologists angrily denounce the drug hydroxychloroquine and extremely dangerous, even though the DNA has ruled it safe to half a century. Why did they condemn a medication already being used effectively on COVID-19 patients worldwide? For one reason only, because President Donald J. Trump, whom the left detests and lives to destroy, has spoken approvingly about it and even took a two-week regimen himself. In all of this and more, those on the left, while reveling, reveling in misinformation, fear, hysteria, wildly inaccurate computer models, pathological hatred toward the president, and the cocaine-like rush of exercising dictatorial powers, insist they're just following the science and the data, you see. Ladies and gentlemen, if it weren't so truthful and sad, it would be comical in what I've just reviewed with you. That's exactly where we stand, ladies and gentlemen. But keep in mind, the Bible says very clearly, the Lord Jesus speaking in Matthew 24:4, take heed that no man deceive you. No man deceive you. And then the Lord Jesus goes on expounding, explaining what's going to happen in the last days. May I say that we need to recognize that we ought not to be deceived into believing, because the left says it's data and it's science, we ought not to take it as fact and believe that somehow, some way, it is truthful and it ought to be inculcated in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, today, across America, mayors and governors and other authorities are not only suggesting that citizens wear face masks, but many of these same states, mayors and governors, are mandating, hear me, mandating via executive orders. For example, in governors in Texas and California, some other states have become panic-stricken because in their reopening of our nation's economic system, we have seen an uptick in the so-called new coronavirus cases. Yet the data does not show that there's an uptick. But conversely, there are major, major increases in tests, and there are major variety of problems with those tests. But ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, the death toll has dramatically decreased. Hear me. Dramatically decreased. What would you think if I were to tell you the absolute data proves across America that we have less than 1%? In fact, it's ticking down close to 25% of those that are in get infected that die. And ladies and gentlemen, over 50,000 of that one presently 126,000, over 50,000 of those deaths were forced deaths on the elderly in the nursing homes. Yes, state after state, especially the states in the tri-states in the Northeast, forced COVID-19 patients to be transported not to the hospital, not to where they could be treated and live, but to be transported to nursing homes that were ill-prepared, non-prepared, without the proper equipment, without the PPE, as they call it, without the personal protection equipment, without the ventilators, et cetera, and unsuspecting nursing homes, and they were placed there simply to die. Now, you don't, you can argue if you want to. There's not a scientist in the world, there's not a physician in the world, there's not a governor or mayor in the world that will tell me that was anything other than a planned euthanasia of our elderly in those states as much as possible. So almost 40-some-odd percent of the total deaths today as a result of that. But here we are today because of reopening America as it should have never been shut down. Reopening America, and there's an uptick in the so-called cases, not deaths, not an uptick in the number, in a major number of those going on ventilators or in the hospital, but that are testing positive. I'm going to read you some startling articles in relationship to that. For example, here's one where this was the man's report back from his COVID-19 test. CDC does not recommend that people who are well wear a face mask to protect themselves from the respiratory disease, including COVID-19. That's a letter from the CDC to an individual that had his test done, and the paperwork came back negative, and that was their notification to him. I'll read that again. CDC does not recommend that people who are well wear a face mask to protect themselves from respiratory disease, including COVID-19. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that is out, and it's from some misinformed individual, I think. Florida needs an executive order requiring wearing of face masks. As we walked through the restaurant door past the sign that read, "No shoes, no shirt, no service," we were surprised to see a large number of customers, servers, and cashiers not wearing face masks. To add "no mask" to the sign ought to be. The Florida Department of Business Professional Regulations advisors regarding restaurant workers that wearing face masks is not a requirement. It's just a recommendation following CDC guideline to wear at least a cloth face covering to contain the wearer's respiratory droplets and help protect coworkers and members of the general public. Since most masks cannot filter out the viral particles, my mask may not protect me, but you as well. And conversely, your mask protects may protect you and me. Face mask requirements are similar to banning smoking in restaurants and drunk driving. They protect all of us, this particular writer says. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a question as to whether or not that is real. As a push by some in the medical profession and some of the department heads in Tallahassee that are less than conservative, that's trying to push our governor into coming up with an absolute edict, an executive order, making face masks required for the state of Florida. But here's an article that says Governor Ron DeSantis says he will not make face mask mandatory, says it would backfire. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says he will not make face mask mandatory statewide, despite the rising coronavirus cases. I think it's something. We provide education. We did an advisory at the beginning of May. We've advised that it's something that could make an impact, the governor said on Friday during a press conference. But at the same time, to do police and put criminal penalties on that is something that would probably backfire on us. He advised residents continue to be vigilant and to avoid major crowds. But he did not say that you must wear a face mask. But conversely, ladies and gentlemen, here in Duval County, our mayor that's petrified that there'll be some kickback, some pushback, and some, rejection of the fact that the Republican National Convention to be held here in Jacksonville. He's trying to look big and tough and that we're going to make everything all right for our citizens. Jacksonville's changed courses, issues a face mask mandate, this article says. Dateline Jacksonville, Florida. Jacksonville decided to issue a face covering mandate, officials announced Monday afternoon. The order goes into effect 5 p.m. Monday. Comes after Mayor Lenny Curry said last week that he had no plans. Last week said he had no plans to issue a face mask mandate. The requirement would be for indoor locations only. A city spokesman said no other details were immediately released by the city. City officials later clarified, saying that beaches area is included in the mandate and masks are required anywhere inside where people are unable to socially distance. Anyone over 2 years of age must wear a mask unless breathing problems are an issue. Under the order, people can eat in the restaurants without masks, only at the table, the city said. Further in the article, it says healthcare experts advise that masks and cloth face covering help would slow the spread of individual COVID-19 to the vulnerable population, including from those who are asymptomatic, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a full face off when it comes to what the mayor is saying and what the governor said in relationship to the efficacy of face masks. In fact, Nancy Pelosi is pushing it for all Americans. Here's an article that says Nancy Pelosi calls for the CDC to mandate Americans wear face masks. It is a push, ladies and gentlemen, from the left, because it is going to escalate to the point just before November election where there is a petrification and a fright of Americans so that it will try to prevent Donald J. Trump from being reelected. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that touches on it about Jacksonville and what the mayor has said. This is someone's post, and I'll not call their name, on Facebook. Says, now that masks are mandated in Jacksonville and I cannot avoid them, I have questions. Is the mask protecting me or is the mask protecting you? If the mask is protecting the wearer, then why are people angry when others choose not to wear one? And as long as you're wearing one, then you're protected. If the mask is protecting others and we're required to social distance, does the mask have superpowers to protect us over a distance of the magical 6 feet? I'm not heartless, but my approach in life is very pragmatic. My issue with wearing a mask has been and continues to be, what is the end date? Is the practice that you think sustainable? Are we disrupting our way of life because wearing a mask goes way beyond just putting on a covering over our nose and mouth? To ease our collective conscience, is that it? I'm not a mathematician, but according to my calculations, Florida has a COVID death rate of 0.02%. Side note here, kudos to the Florida healthcare workers from the smart start of the pandemic. Florida healthcare has been top-notch. Explain to me why we are changing our entire society for a virus, and I'll explain to you how powerful the force of fear happens to be. Ladies and gentlemen, that is something that I think we ought to understand is taking place. Here's another Facebook post. My daughter has been tested twice for the virus due to being exposed to positive individuals at work. The doctor told us the virus had mutated and is basically only a cold. The symptoms no longer last any longer than 4 days. All of this continued fear and control for literally no reason. I am so over it, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just a little smattering of what's going out in the real world in relationship to the forced mandate by state after state after state with some of the governors and some of the mayors across our nation in relationship to that. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be aware and understand that the Bible is very clear that we take heed that no man deceive us. Are we being deceived? Yes, we are. How are we being deceived? Through the medical society, through Dr. Fauci, Dr. Tedros, Dr. Birx, and through Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We're going to have about 1 minute top of the hour news break, and after that, we'll be right back as we continue our subject today. No mask, no freedom, no buy or sell.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.